that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Welcome back to Turf Show Times, the Instant Reaction Podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur. With me, as always, Blaine Didasco, and talk about a fiasco. Wow, this is the biggest fiasco, arguably, in Sean McVay's career as a head coach. Has it ever been lower for him? Maybe the Super Bowl, perhaps, but then right now, to know that the Rams really had this game against the 49ers, and this is an instant reaction. So I'm assuming you already watched the game and you know what I'm talking about. It didn't happen long ago, but the Rams blowing a 17-point lead. Sean McVay, that record at halftime is over. Nobody will talk about, unless you want to talk about something and one. The Rams did lose to the 49ers 27-24 in overtime, and we'll get into the details of that game, but certainly just a rough game for Sean McVay, just because I'm sure to have gotten a win against Kyle Shanahan and against the 49ers and against the division rival, and to win the NFC West, which the Rams do win the NFC West, but to win the NFC West on a really positive note by beating, you know, a team and keeping them out of the playoffs. The Rams had all of that on the line, and things fell apart in the fourth quarter, which just goes to show that when the Rams begin the playoffs next week against the Arizona Cardinals and so on, if the Rams are able to continue, these NFL games, football games, can end for any team at any time, at any moment. So that was surely the case in this week 18 game between the Rams and the 49ers. And it really did not work out as planned, especially trying to just hold a lead at home in a game that you really should be winning at that point. So we've got a lot to get into. But as much as today might hurt for Sean McVay, the truth is we don't really even know how much this impacts the Rams and their road to a Super Bowl, if that is going to happen. This may not matter that all that much to go from the 2 seed to the 4 seed. Perhaps it'll end up being a more favorable path for LA. As far as worrying about today's result, I wouldn't make a too big of a deal out of that, just based on the fact that ultimately the Rams still are going to the playoffs and have won the division. So there's a lot to get into, and we want to separate some of the good things to focus on today after the Rams losing to the 49ers. There are still some good things to focus on. And then, of course, some of the worrisome things, some of the bad things. So myself and Blaine, we'll do that right now. And Blaine, let's start with something good. The Cardinals lost to the Seahawks, and therefore the Rams were able to win the NFC West, which really looked in doubt not very long ago. And the Cardinals ended up losing 4 of their last 5 games. They really fall apart going into the playoffs, even more so than it may feel for the Rams right now, because the Cardinals, they're just not playing like anything like a playoff team, period. So the Rams did win the NFC West. How do you compare, maybe, do you think you can appreciate that as much today? I mean, obviously, going into the season, if the Rams could have been told, you know, hey, 12-5, winning the NFC West, that doesn't sound too bad. It would be like the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, got to give credit, and, you know, we got to appreciate the third division win for Sean McVay. So yeah, it's kind of weird getting that win on a day that we take a loss, but it is nonetheless a NFC West title. And I think, you know, another positive that goes with that is that it's a long season, especially with the addition of the 18th week. And even when it was a 17-week season, it's a long season, and it's all about not the hot team, but the team that gets hot at the right time, the team that's peaking towards the end of the season when you want to be. So I think that's something that the Cardinals may not have the timing going on as much as the Rams are. So even though we lost today, it was a competitive game against another competitive team that seems to also be playing their best ball at the right and the most important time of the season. So I think that's what we saw today from all three teams, the 49ers, the Rams, and the Cardinals, a matter of who's peaking at the right time. So while we lost in overtime, I still think the good news is we're NFC West champions and also playing really good ball towards the end of the season.
Yeah, it was, it's the way, you know, If you just jumbled up the order of the games and somehow the Rams had just won their last four games, everyone would feel very positive about the way things are going. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big believer in like momentum as it applies to wins in a row. I don't think that matters. And I don't think it really, I know that people like say, hey, go get hot going into the playoffs, but there's been Super Bowl winners that were not hot at all in the final month of the season. The 2012 Ravens coming to mind. But in any case, you know, what the Rams really need to do is play their best ball next week and so on in perpetuity. Yep. And today there was like a good two quarters where the Rams played some of their best football of the season. So there are positive takeaways to take from this game, even not just from the season. Would you think of maybe what was your favorite game or what was maybe the game this season that you look back on and it makes you think that, that Rams team can definitely win their next four games. The Rams, just in quick succession here, you know, did beat the Buccaneers, swept the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. They beat the Vikings, the Ravens on the road, the Cardinals on the road on Monday Night Football. They blew out several teams, you know, in the first 4 years for Sean McVay. I don't think there was one regular season game that he pulled Jared Goff in the fourth quarter. And there were two games this year that Matthew Stafford got pulled in the fourth quarter because it was just too far out of hand. So, you know, there were some really big, strong games here. Anyone stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the one that stands out at first is Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Even though it was early in the season, it was the first big test against a team that obviously was a defending champions, but at the same time coming in undefeated 2-0, just like the Rams were. So that was a good test. I think, you know, it was explosive on offense with Matthew Stafford playing a really good ball. Hitting deep balls to Van Jefferson and DeSean Jackson, but also defensively, you know, so I think even though early in the season, that was the first look at what the Rams could be at playing their best ball. We lost the next one to Arizona the following week, but then went on a four-game win streak after that. So I'd say that was the first game that stood out to me as far as, you know, that early on, what this team's going to look like with Matthew Stafford and the new additions.
Yeah, and the Rams, you know, just funny to have this loss right now. This is a Rams team that was 7-1. This is a Rams team that had just won five games in a row and so close to that sixth game. So a lot of good games in there, but we will alternate and talk about something not so good. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think for me, going along that schedule, the Rams now must defeat teams, you know, like the Cardinals, obviously. And then if they get past the Cardinals, to be facing the Packers in Lambeau, a game that the Rams lost and didn't compete well enough in. And obviously lost last year in the playoffs at Lambeau Field in the divisional round. So you got to get past like a team like the Packers, or maybe you got to get past a team like the Buccaneers again. And that was a win, but that was a while ago. And then you, maybe you got to, who knows, maybe you got to face the 49ers in the playoffs. And there's a team that has beaten you six times in a row now. You lost to the Titans in the regular season. What if it did get the Super Bowl? And at that point, you're just happy to be in the Super Bowl and you know, maybe beat the Titans at that point. But you get my point. When you look at the actual teams maybe that are competing for the Super Bowl, with the exception of the Buccaneers, to lose to the Titans, to get swept by the 49ers, to lose to the Packers, and to lose to the Cardinals in that game that was, you know, almost a blowout in the other way. I would like to have seen some more of those convincing wins against teams like the Buccaneers, and there were a lot of opportunities for it. What do you think is going to continue to hamper the Rams against the 49ers based on what we've seen over the last six games, like especially the last, you know, four? What do you think is the thing that Sean McVay can no longer allow to happen against the 49ers?
Well, I hate to say it, because I think, you know, Rams fans are sick of hearing it, but it is the physicality. Today, we saw Sean McVay and the offense, at least, commit to the run. So we got to see two teams staying pretty committed to the run game. And in the first half, the Rams did a little bit better job slowing the 49ers running game. But over the course of the four quarters and a little bit of the overtime, the 49ers front on both sides just took over. And, you know, the Rams defensive line was getting moved up front. And the secondary weren't making consistent tackles. And then, of course, same thing on the offensive side for the Rams. The pocket was collapsing all day. And, you know, Stafford's pocket presence struggled. So, unfortunately, you know, I think it's a little bit to do with roster. You can help with scheme as far as what to do when you're getting outmatched physically. I think that's the biggest thing looking forward is, you know, how to match the physicality with the 49ers.
Yeah, that is, makes a lot of sense. Certainly is going to continue to be the story until, the Rams make it not the story. So, we'll see if that, I don't know if that opportunity comes up in the playoffs, then surely it would behoove the Rams to do that. But then you just also think, how about not a rematch against the 49ers in the playoffs? But then again, what could be a better story than going out there and exercising that demon against Kyle Shanahan and proving to everyone that, you are the best team in the NFL. A lot needs to happen between here and until then. But let's get back to something good. I had to write a few stories for Turf Show Times or one and two, and looking at it, it was just constantly rewriting and changing the angle based on the idea that the Rams would either win this game or lose this game. And for a long time, it was just win this game, obviously. I thought this was going to continue to coast in a way that would work out for the Rams, because that interception by Jalen Ramsey, one of the best plays, because usually whenever you see someone juggle a ball like that for that long, it's like, you're not going to catch it. Mm-hmm. It just inevitably there's always a drop once you juggle it once or twice, you know, and that was incredible concentration by a guy who I think this season really did prove himself as a playmaker, which was not that he wasn't a playmaker before, but anytime you come up with turnovers, it's going to add to your resume as a defensive back, as a cornerback. And I think Ramsey proved himself as the best defensive back in the NFL this year, living up to the contract that he signed to be that. And that was one of the good plays from Ramsey today. Cooper Kupp doing everything out there, 7 catches for 118 yards, and really just taking over the game in the second half at certain points. Von Miller, Tyler Higbee, a lot of really high-level performances out there against a very good, very hot team right now in the 49ers. Blaine, what were your thoughts on the talent of the Rams today that was on display? Because it was obvious somehow despite the loss.
Yeah, first of all, you're right about that Ramsey interception. That's elite athleticism right there. And a lot of times on bobbled plays, you know, what you're looking at is just an athlete trying to catch the ball, really trying to get control of a ball in the air. But rarely you'll see, like Jalen Ramsey, you know, you could almost say bobbling, but also like tipping it to himself, all of that deliberate as he's falling backwards. And then to finish it. Yeah. So really, really amazing play. And he wanted to take it 100 yards the other way also. That was amazing. I think Tyler Higbee probably had, you know, some of his best moments today. But also Matthew Stafford, he was really accurate in moments when he needed to be, specifically that's a second touchdown to Tyler Higbee, and then his touchdown to Cooper Kupp were on the money. So I think those are definitely the good takeaways from today. Nice to see on Tyler Taylor Rapp's interception. You got to give credit to both the pass rush and then to Taylor Rapp for going up and finishing that one, which was critical, again, in a game that was close, but we just didn't come away with it. So, like I said, it looked like, you know, talent on both sides of the ball, two teams peaking and making big plays on both sides. So it was an exciting game that way.
Yeah, I think you're right about Matthew Stafford. And ultimately, there are fair questions about his, you know, sometimes his overall value. And yet at the same time, I just don't think that there's any way that you can say that the Rams are even competitive in games like this without a quarterback who's able to do the things that he was able to do today. You know, for me, it's like, greatness isn't avoiding adversity. Greatness is overcoming adversity. Greatness is facing third and 10 and having a solution. You know, the truth is, you know, for a long time there in the second half, the Rams had issues with third and long. They faced a third and 6, followed by a third and 16, followed by a third and 10, followed by a third and 10. And all right there on their first three drives, to start the second half, there was only one first down, and Matthew Stafford does have to take accountability for why they are in third and long. But I still think that now having Stafford there with Cooper Kupp and today Tyler Higbee, but like having Stafford there, someone who can step on into the pocket and make a play and make a throw, you know, is what makes him one of the most unique starting quarterbacks in the NFL, who was able to elevate this offense to one that scored what 40 passing touchdowns or whatever. So I think there's a lot there to take away positively from Stafford, and that shouldn't be always turned simply based on the result of the game, which never is the quarterback's entire responsibility. So at the end of the day, whether the Rams won or lost this game, Stafford's real legacy will be decided with whatever happens over the next month. So that's what we'll find out. And the biggest concern going back to the bad with Stafford is probably those turnovers. And today, I think there's a discussion to be had about overtime and what's right and what's wrong and what's fair. And obviously everybody wants to find a way that's fair. And at the same time, I just don't think that fair exists. But I don't know that it's fair to have this situation of a team. It's still so advantageous to get the ball first. And I think if the Rams had gotten the ball to start overtime, there's a good chance that Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford could have methodically driven down the field as well in a similar fashion against the 49ers. The fact that the 49ers got to do it first, the Rams had to go a certain amount. You know, you could argue certainly against the deep bomb, but it was no less the case that the Rams didn't have 10 minutes to go down the field. They had 2 minutes and 50 seconds or whatever. But still, Matthew Stafford had the turnover to end the game instead of a completion to win the game. And that's going to be an issue when it comes down to, you know, win or go home scenarios in the playoffs. So what are your thoughts in terms of the overall balance with Matthew Stafford going into the playoffs? It's going to be a heavy focus, certainly on his interceptions, the pick six, or whatever it is. So how are you feeling about the overall value?
I think he's, you know, he's on the right track as far as the last two games compared to, you know, the previous three or four, where, you know, the last game, the last two quarters, he finished strong. And even this game, you know, the interceptions, you know, there was no pick six and there was no, you know, big sort of big bad decision throwing the ball away into the defender. So there was none of that. I mean, both on deep passes that, you know, you described it well as far as, you know, what those situations are like. But other than that, outside of those interceptions, again, he's looking really accurate. Today, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit for today. The fact that, again, the pass protection, you know, just wasn't there. We just got the Rams really got beat up front. So he's on the move all day and making all the throws that he made today under pressure. And I don't think that's going to be the case the way that it was today against the teams that we have up ahead, particularly the Cardinals, who I don't think are as physical as the 49ers. So I think I'm still feeling pretty good about Stafford going into the playoffs. Again, I think this is probably going to be the 49ers, that is, one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs. So still feeling pretty good about Stafford, especially, you know, his the balls that he did hit today were really on point when they had to be.
Yeah, he's a very good quarterback, I think, you know, and I do think that the Rams, especially looking at this NFC playoff field, it's kind of good, I think, to have Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs. Not that the Saints really have much more to offer at the quarterback position, but got Jalen Hurts and Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think having and even like Kyler Murray hasn't proven himself in a playoff situation yet, hasn't had the opportunity yet, so be his first playoff game. And then of course you got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. So I think Stafford is a good name to put up there with those guys. And it'll be interesting here. We can talk about the playoffs shortly, but with regards to another positive thing, you brought this up, the Rams are in pretty good shape as long as Matthew Stafford's ankle doesn't have any sort of significant injury. But overall, what are you thinking here about the injury report and the overall health? Cam Akers did return today, so what's going on there with the Rams and the health?
Yeah, I mean, that's always one of the biggest pluses going into the tournament is, you know, how you came out of the overall season as far as injuries go. You know, the Cardinals, for example, you know, coming in without DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, J.J. Watt's planning his return just in time. But as far as the Rams go, you know, all of our main players are available. Again, Stafford looks like he shook off whatever he encountered today with a little bit of a limp. Tyler Higbee also, you know, got shooken up a little bit, but he looked, you know, he came back and scored a touchdown. So I think he's all good. But certainly one of the biggest news is Cam Akers. I mean, I think it's been a roller coaster of a ride for the Rams and the running back situation all season. And I guess kind of coming full circle with the fact that we lost Cam Akers, that kind of started the whole rotation with Darrell Henderson and he being our lead back, and it falling on Sony Michel in the second half of the season. And here we are going into the playoffs with Cam Akers, who we got a little bit of a look at today. But again, we saw little action from any of our running backs today. But you know, as far as we can tell, he's 100% ready to go. So I think that's what today was intended to be. Just get Cam Akers a little bit of, you know, get his feet in the water a little bit, but make sure that he's ready to go for the playoffs. So I think those are really positives because, again, long season, and this starts kind of the new season or the tournament. So it's just a matter of what roster you got as we start. And so I think that's a big positive.
Yeah, that is a big positive for anybody that can, you know, it's I don't know how much of these things can be planned for with, you know, every time there's a team that goes through a few years of like the Chargers, you know, years of notable injuries. There's blame to go around maybe, but I don't know to what degree that's true. And certainly I think the Rams are probably both planning well and fortunate to be at this position of health, because it wasn't that case at all last year going into the playoffs with Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp. And there was a lot to deal with. And this time you've even got A'shaun Robinson, who's been coming on of late. Any thoughts on A'shaun Robinson, who added another sack today?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's had a nice development throughout the season, you know, kind of him and Greg Gaines had a nice progression through the season. And again, it's either, you know, they their development throughout the season coming along or, you know, so the cohesion of the front working together now with Von Miller and with Leonard Floyd included. Just the fact that, you know, like some people said, when we got Von Miller, it's just going to take some time for these guys to learn how to play together. But I think Greg Gaines and A'shaun Robinson is a part of that. But he's a big dude. He's a big dude. And, you know, he can be hard to move. So I think we're glad to have him.
Speaking of glad to have, I think Rams fans would be glad to have additional help in the secondary next year. So going into just one more of the bad, you know, the Rams have things to focus on with the offense and improving the offense. Because, when you have guys like Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, you know, 24 points isn't cutting it. So that's going to be the case probably in some playoff games, you know, and you just have to do better than 24 points. But defensively, the Rams had some positives from this season and also some negatives. One thing that I wrote today on Turf Show Times was just about the firing of Vic Fangio in Denver. And obviously now he will be a hot name among defensive coordinators, assuming that he wants to be a defensive coordinator again. And whether or not the Rams would, because, you know, Sean McVay has changed a lot of defensive coordinators. We'll see what the future of Raheem Morris is. Ideally Raheem Morris is retained, but perhaps if that could be an opinion as well. So mostly just looking at the defensive side of the ball though today, the Rams have made some really good stops and then didn't on some others. And perhaps the biggest issue was in the secondary. Just to also preview sort of what the Rams are looking at in the secondary next year, because Jalen Ramsey, who we highlighted earlier, he'll be sticking around, of course, but Darius Williams is an unrestricted free agent. Dante Dion has been starting because of, you know, injuries and maybe some other players not performing that well, like David Long Jr. But Dante Dion is a free agent, and David Long Jr. would be another player who is still on the roster. And at safety, you've got Taylor Rapp, who just had a very pretty straightforward interception today. But overall, the Rams have some players on the roster, but I don't know how many of those players in the secondary outside of Jalen Ramsey and Jordan Fuller are going to be clear options to start in the secondary next year. So what do you think the Rams I need to focus on here to improve the secondary moving forward?
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying in that definitely an area to be addressed. I feel like the top two areas to address this offseason would be the secondary and then the offensive line. Mm-hmm. While we drafted Robert Rochelle this season, you know, we saw some sort of, we got some mixed reviews when he did play and then he got injured. So I think we'll see what he looks like in his second season. But especially after this game, I think, you know, Dante Dion gives a good effort, but him and David Long Jr., I don't think are long-term solutions. Hopefully they can, you know, Raheem Morris can help ways to scheme and give those guys some help. Darius Williams, again, he can be hot and cold. We've seen some good things out of him this season, but I'm not sure if he's a must have return or look at other options, kind of deal. But, on a positive note, it looks like Raheem Morris has made adjustments as far as what to do schematically to help the secondary with the personnel that we have, you know, specifically where to line Jalen Ramsey up and where to play our best secondary player. So I think going up against the Green Bay Packers, if and when we get there, that's going to be one of the main looks as far as, you know, where Jalen Ramsey lines up, how much he lines up on their best receiver. Just because, again, that's one of the teams that could be up ahead that we lost to in the regular season. So good news, bad news is I don't know if we have any permanent solutions or long-term solutions other than Jalen Ramsey, but we got him.
And that is great. That is a great point. You know, is the Rams do have Jalen Ramsey, because it just blows my mind still. Like, there was nothing about Los Angeles, the Rams, I mean, other than, you know, sort of Stan Kroenke and the franchise's will to bring talent back to LA for football, to bring football talent back to LA. And since, you know, moving, you know, really focusing on bringing in big names and highlighting, you know, SoFi Stadium, because for the Rams to get attention around the world to SoFi Stadium, which is what Stan Kroenke wants, you've got to have big names and big faces in the NFL. Like, that is what every single ESPN or NFL Network or CBS or Fox broadcast focuses on every week. They don't focus, you know, there's some focus on the head coaches and stuff like that, but every week it's like, hey, they're going to put up, you know, Cooper Kupp's face and Aaron Donald's face versus Deebo Samuel's face. And, you know, who would be, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I guess, would be the answer. But, you know, it's always going to be sold by stars. And if you don't have big stars, the people just aren't as prone to watch. They're looking for big names, people to watch. And that's what the Rams do. You know, they've brought in big names ever since moving to LA and had this project in mind of, like, really being a global football team. And trading for Jalen Ramsey just blows my mind that any team wouldn't have even topped, you know, looking at it now, two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey, which maybe you could say like that is an overreaction, but the Jaguars got two late first round picks that turned into Ke'Lavon Chaisson and Travis Etienne. Chaisson has, you know, not been as very healthy, super healthy for his first two seasons, and also just hasn't played well when he's been out there. And Travis Etienne missed his entire rookie season with an injury. It was unfortunate. And, you know, certainly the Rams could have picked other people with those picks, but you're just never going to get that high of a value like you would get with a player like Jalen Ramsey. It's just so rare to find those players. And the Rams, knowing that they're not going to be picking in the top five, I think looking at that move to get Jalen Ramsey with hindsight, just like I think the move to get Matthew Stafford, I mean, to give up definitely this year, you know, a pick in the 20s, at least, you know, no worse than that. And then next year, you know, probably safe to assume again that the Rams will be in the playoffs, and maybe not, you know, maybe never safe to assume, but just a very long-winded way of saying, like, Jalen Ramsey's great. And the Rams, I think, is it's robbery to get to just be two late first round picks and then, you know, extend him. But obviously, I just, like I say, it's just part of this you know, projects to really put the biggest names and faces on a team in LA. And the Rams, hey, you got to stay ahead of the Chargers if you want to do that, I guess. So today wasn't necessarily a point in that favor, and the secondary being a reason why. But moving forward to next week, it's going to be another game against the Arizona Cardinals. As I said, I was rewriting the article, and for a long time, it was all planning for the Saints. And facing Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian in the first round. And instead, it's going to be Kyler Murray, a quarterback who was a nightmare for the Rams in week four when the Cardinals won 37-20. And I'm sure when we did the podcast then, a lot of not great feelings for the Rams' first loss of the season. But then LA got its revenge on Monday Night Football in week 14, kind of gave the Rams all their confidence back, and a winning streak happened. But overall now, what are your thoughts on the facing the Cardinals in the wild card round? As I said, they've lost 4 of 5. And as you said, they're not super healthy going into this game. So how are you feeling about facing Arizona right now?
Feeling pretty good about it. I mean, again, I think the Rams played really, really well today. So looking at how we played today going into the match against the Cardinals, you got to feel pretty good in that. Like I said, I don't think the Cardinals are the physical match that the 49ers are. And I think it showed in the adjustments that the Rams made from, you know, week four to the week 14 matchup against the Cardinals, where their first matchup, the Cardinals ran for over 200 yards. And in the second matchup, the Rams defense was able to cut that in half and reduce the rushing yards substantially. So I think those are the adjustments that you're hoping to see and resulted in the win and the rematch. So if they can keep that up, I think they're, you know, they got some pretty good chances. I feel like the Rams were always pretty good at containing Kyler Murray's sort of running ability. So I think, again, Aaron Donald's going to do his thing, always has a habit of, you know, putting pressure and taking down the Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. So we'll expect that same thing from him again, this time compared to week four with Von Miller and Greg Gaines and A'shaun Robinson hitting their peak. So you got to feel pretty good, even though we lost today, based on how we're playing, going up against the Cardinals for the first round.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in the first game, that was at home, and the Rams had 2 turnovers. Cardinals had 0 turnovers. And in the week 14, Cardinals had 2 turnovers. Rams had 0 turnovers. It will be very nice to see the Rams not turn the ball over in the wild card round and then get by the Cardinals. Another thing that happened in that first Cardinals game is Cooper Kupp had 64 yards. Mm-hmm. Only game all year that he had under 90 yards. And the Cardinals also rushed for 216 yards, which was the most by any team against the Rams all year. What were the biggest adjustments, do you think, between week four and week 14?
I think it was just the focus on the run. And then, again, throughout the season, especially after the losing streak, just a matter of how we're using our best players. But I think it was a matter of containing the run and, again, the secondary to match up against the pass a little bit better. But certainly the attention paid to ball security turnovers is, you know, is the biggest factor. So I think playing clean on offense with no turnovers and then stopping the run was a big deal in the rematch.
Yeah. And the Rams, you know, this will be a great opportunity to get back on the playoff stage, get a win over, you know, a team that was everybody's favorite team after a couple of months. You know, remember how much people were hyped up on the Arizona Cardinals when they were winning, scoring all those points. Kyler Murray was the leading MVP candidate and all that kind of stuff. And just really fell apart here at the end of the year. But as I said, sometimes teams can fall apart at the end of a year and just find it at the right time. As you said, JJ Watt's coming back. I don't know how much of an impact that'll have. Nobody really does. But against the Rams or anybody, you know, maybe it could just be the difference of one player. So making one play at one big moment. So who knows what'll happen there, but the Rams need to have a win back in the pockets, get that confidence going into whatever game they need to go into. Cause I'm pretty sure it's guaranteed that if the Rams win, they'll have to go on the road in the divisional round. So and I think that's the only thing that's possible. So if that happens, then it's going to have to be a big win on the road there. And then we'll see whatever. But overall, you know, Matthew Stafford, he did have a touchdown pass today, which was his 17th game of the year with at least one touchdown pass, which is pretty remarkable. The first guy to ever do that. And I think there's no question that we should at least get an entertaining show. And hopefully the Rams put on a better show than the Cardinals. And the Rams could kind of just put today behind them, as much as it feels bad to once again lose to the 49ers. Never good. Blaine, any final thoughts here? If we were talking, wrapping up sort of the Rams 12-5 regular season.
Yeah, I think first thing is, you know, hats off to maybe our best player, Cooper Kupp. I guess next to Aaron Donald, but Cooper Kupp having, you know, really breakout season and kind of being one of the most entertaining stories for all of the league. So hats off to him, even though we're short. Cooper Kupp came up short of the single season record. He's still the best receiver statistically in the league. So I think that was one of the best stories to come out of the Rams season this year. It was exciting watching the new Rams with Matthew Stafford. I think it very much was as expected from all of his supporters and a little bit of as expected from his critics. But nonetheless, here we are, like you said, 12-5 entering the playoffs. So I think that's a positive on any note. And then the last shout out would go to front office, Les Snead, making some moves again, like we talked about last week, putting this team together and continuing to make moves throughout the season to, number one, keep it exciting, but maybe get all the right parts at all the right time to make this push. So I think for all of those things, really exciting season for the Rams in the 18-week season.
Yeah, 12-5, 18-week season, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr., Matthew Stafford, Andrew Whitworth at 40. So many things of note, and the season isn't over. Got another one next week against the Arizona Cardinals, and the Rams know that they can beat the Cardinals. Just need to bring it next week against the Cardinals. So we will also do that. Stay tuned for more episodes of Turf Show Times, the podcast, this week, and hit that subscribe button. That's it for Turf Show Times with Kenneth Arthur. With me, as always, Blaine Didasco. Follow him on Twitter at Blaine Didasco.